This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A desperate search and rescue operation is underway in the North Atlantic for a submersible that disappeared on a trip to the wreckage of the Titanic. Five people are inside, including a billionaire British adventurer and two Pakistani businessmen. The U.S. Coast Guard's Rear Admiral John Mauger.
The vessel was designed with a 96-hour sustainment capability if there was an emergency on board. And so we're making the best use of every moment of that time to locate the vessel.
Disappeared Sunday, the remains of the Titanic are about 13,000 feet below the surface. Southern states are bracing for more powerful storms after at least 20 confirmed tornadoes since Friday, including an EF1 twister that killed one person and injured almost two dozen in Jasper County, Mississippi. Meteorologist Chris Warren at the Weather Channel.
A lot of heavy rain this week expected on and off throughout the southeast. We'll have to watch out for more flash flooding.
Other parts of the South are dealing with intense heat, and more than 300,000 customers have no AC right now. KYTX-TV's Jesus Martinez reports from Harrison County, Texas.
Cammie Breeding and her neighbors have had no power since Thursday night. They're resorting to cooling off by drinking water and being outside. She says it's much cooler than being inside, where it reached up to temperatures of 90 degrees. Next door, her neighbor was found dead inside.
Tried to call him. No answer there. The people that mowed the yard hadn't heard from him either, so they came over.
Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin all under excessive heat warnings. Indexes will make it feel like it's between 110 and 120 degrees. Overseas, there's been a raid in a Paris suburb this morning.
I'm Vicki Barker at the Foreign Desk in London. Just over a year before the Paris Olympics, a police raid on the organizers' headquarters. The French prosecutor's office says it's part of two ongoing investigations into alleged favoritism and embezzlement of public funds. The organizers have released a statement saying only that they're cooperating with the authorities.
A divisive British internet personality, Andrew Tate, has been indicted in Romania along with his brother and two others on human trafficking and rape charges. They were detained 6 months ago. Something's shaking down under. Scott Maiman reports from Canberra, Australia.
The latest quake hit just south of Sydney. The city's not familiar with earthquakes.
You felt it, like the house shook.
And that follows a series of quakes in Melbourne. Authorities say more tremors can be expected, but they're not sure why.
S&P futures down 15. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I've been a tireless public servant for over a decade. Before that, worked nearly 6 years on Wall Street. I'm an economist, a lawyer, and somebody who cares deeply about whether or not what our politicians are doing make each of our lives better. Come tune in to The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Know anybody who's been an economist, a lawyer on Wall Street, but is from just down the street? Worked in the public sector for over a decade? Won a rugby national championship and played in Carnegie Hall? Well, I do. It's me. Come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Do you get sick of the news? Wonder what it's all about and why it matters to you? Tired of the talking heads? Want to move beyond talking points? For those that want to know, there's only one place to go, and that's The Maggie Dawn Show. Come listen to a pragmatist that gets beyond the politics.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Thank you, Don Rue. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, June 20th, National Vanilla Milkshake Day. Look, I can't tell you about all of them. I just look on the National Day calendar and somebody said this is National Vanilla Milkshake Day. So those of you who can't handle a chocolate milkshake and what's the matter with you, this is your day for that vanilla milkshake. Coming up, if we could create a wish list for how Wisconsin politicians should address the state's real problems and not the ones concocted for partisan gamesmanship, we could review the progress if we had a state legislator with us, and we do. State Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire will be along, and we'll check in later in the hour with Chad Holmes on the things he's discussing on Bull Falls Radio in the Wausau area. If you missed our last hour, which included Christina Lurie with some pronouns 101 for Pride Month, you can catch the show anytime by subscribing to it as a podcast at Apple, Spotify, all the usual places, civicmedia.us. We might have a tech gremlin from time to time that delays things, but bear with us and we'll get those uploaded and let you download the show at your convenience. But in the meantime, if you're here live, thank you on behalf of your local Civic Media station, and feel free to call in at 844-967-2789 or email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or watch the show if you're on the Facebook page for Civic Media or for Up North News. Leave a comment there and we'll see it. You can also catch us live on the Facebook page of Bull Falls Radio, on the Twitter pages of Civic Media and Up North News, and on the Up North News YouTube site. You can catch us live or watch back there as well. Don't forget that you can catch Up North News on social media by searching for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI if you really want to find us. And you'll find social media posts like the finalist for the Wisconsin State Fair Sporkies, you know, the Sporky Awards that they do. And of course, you can also sign up for our newsletter, which includes things like my editorial about the middle of the night vote recently by Republicans to kill off a critical program for affordable child care. And also how a little research can help you get a better salary offer or a raise. In a little bit of national news that I thought I'd bring up first, only because it just seems so on brand for the former president, who famously said in August of 2015, "I'm going to surround myself only with the best and most serious people. We want top of the line professionals." And that was a line that stuck with many people at the time. They wanted somebody different. They wanted an outsider and somebody who they mistakenly thought was a successful businessman rather than a, you know, huckster, a grifter, and a showman. They thought, well, this guy is going to surround himself with the best and most serious people, in his own words. But in an interview with Brett Baer on Fox News, the former president was asked about all of the many people who have worked for him that he said were the best people. And then Brett Baer parroted back to him all of the horrible things that Trump has said about them after they left, after they got to see who Donald Trump really was and what he wanted and how they wanted no part of that. And on cable news channels and on social media posts, you're seeing the same thing. And I just wanted to give you a sample. These come from former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's account. He just puts up a long string of them, which, again, other networks have been actually playing the video of Trump saying these things. For example, there was his former chief of staff, John Kelly. Before, Trump was saying, he's a great American. He's been a true star of my administration. Afterwards, about John Kelly, he was way over his head, didn't do a good job, had no temperament, and was petered out. About his attorney general, Bill Barr, he said, one of the most respected jurists in the country, highly respected lawyer, a terrific man, a terrific person. He was my first choice from day one. Afterward, he was gutless. I think he's a coward who didn't do his job. There was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley. Beforehand, he's a great gentleman. He's a great patriot. He's a great soldier. Afterwards, he's an idiot. He's pathetic. On his Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis. Before, he's our best. They say he's the closest thing to General Patton that we have. Afterwards, the world's most overrated general. I didn't like his leadership style or much else about him. About Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve. Before, he's strong, he's committed, he's smart. After, who's our bigger enemy, Jay Powell or Chairman Xi from China? He did this about Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. He did it about Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. He did it about Mark Esper, his Secretary of Defense. He did it about his Secretary of Transportation, Elaine Chao. And Brett Baer brought all of these up and asked Trump to explain. And his rather weak explanation was that for every one of those, there were 10 others who did a great job. But the evidence doesn't bear that out. The evidence is that all of the good people did the rats from a sinking ship thing to the point where he was, I don't remember January 6th, he was basically watching the riots alone in a room full of TVs. Not the best people, not the most serious people, and yet he'll still go on TV and try to make excuses for his failings in that. We'll have more headlines and State Representative Jody Emerson still on the way here on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday. We'll be back.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Happy birthday to Brian Wilson from Beach Boys, turns 81 years old on this day. Here up on Lake Wasota, 65 degrees, going to be another warm one, another pleasant one by and large. And Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology joins us now. Tell us more about the full forecast for the state of Wisconsin. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and really the story here is that a high pressure system is in control today and really for the next several days ahead. So day to day, it's going to be pretty similar for each location. Looking at sunny skies today with highs in the mid to upper 80s from a slightly cooler upper 70s to low 80s from Oshkosh down to Waukesha and over to Milwaukee. Pretty much the exact same expected for your Wednesday tomorrow. Sunny skies across the board. Highs primarily in the 80s. Again, slightly cooler in the eastern part of the state, but an outlier getting into the low 90s around Richland Center. Thursday, sunny again. Highs in the 80s, low 90s for the southwestern parts of the state, and again, a little cooler in the east. Friday, sunshine, then a blend of clouds and sun develops around Wausau over to Amory and Baldwin, with a slight chance for showers and storms coming in for those areas in the afternoon hours. Again, temperatures on Friday similar in the 80s for most, low 90s in Richland Center, cooler towards Lake Michigan. And just a sneak peek at the weekend, Saturday looking at, once again, a similar day, sunny skies for most, temperatures the same as I've been mentioning for the week, chance for rain showers and storms for central and west central Wisconsin.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Appreciate the forecast. Have a great day.
You too.
And we've got our temperatures around the state right now that include Waupaca at 62, Darlington 64, Algoma 64. It's 62 degrees in Madison, Waukesha coming in at 61 degrees. Time for sports now, if you can stand it. The Milwaukee Brewers fresh off sweeping the Pittsburgh Pirates and taking first place in the National League Central. Didn't stay there long, thanks to an unusually poor start by Corbin Burnes, who was shelled for 6 runs in the first inning. And the Arizona Diamondbacks limited the Brewers to just 3 hits, tying them for their season low throughout the season so far. And the Brewers lose to the D-backs 9-1, and they fall out of first place in the division as Cincinnati beat Colorado last night as well. A little bit of good news. Christian Yelich had an RBI triple in the third inning, meaning he now has a 12-game streak of reaching base safely. But again, between injuries and inexperience, the Brewers are proving to be rather streaky of late. Colin Ray will get the start tonight for the Brewers against Arizona. Then there's a game tomorrow afternoon at American Family Field. And then it's off to a road trip in Cleveland, New York, and Pittsburgh. You can catch the Brewers in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. And on News from the Center and Richland Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. Again, State Representative Jody Emerson is going to join us. I don't know why I keep wanting to say Jody Weber. She was a colleague of mine at Channel 13 a million years ago, who later went into law enforcement, lucky for her, and has done a wonderful job there. She might have even retired at this point, but was a really nice morning anchor here at Channel 13. But it's Jody Emerson that we'll be talking to, not just about the recent vote by Republicans to kill the Child Care Counts program, but also a little bit about infrastructure, personal infrastructure in her case, as we talk about the replacement of, you know, water and sewer lines and other things that are going to continue to create jobs across Wisconsin, thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law. So look for that as well. If you missed it in our last hour, we did get to talking about how Republicans appear to be poised to wrap up their work on the state budget. And that because they've never really given any kind of a plan for what it is that they want to do about the state's record $7 billion surplus, it's becoming increasingly clear that they're going to try to lump as much of it as possible into tax cuts. Because again, when you're a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And to them, there is nothing that can't be solved by cutting taxes. The opioid crisis, cut taxes. The worker shortage, cut taxes. The affordable child care, cut taxes. Lead in the water pipes, cut taxes. It's not always the best path forward. Then we look to our elected leaders to provide specific solutions. But unfortunately, even their friends at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce were putting up a post yesterday saying that, you know, one of the most important things the state could do, the legislature could do, would be to drop the top tax bracket for state income taxes. Do you know what the top tax bracket is for state income taxes? You probably don't, because it's probably not one of the many factors that decide whether you take a job in Wisconsin, move in or out of Wisconsin. You're looking for some of the things that we talked about earlier. And yet, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce went so far as to make a map of the Midwest to make the comparison that Wisconsin has room to lower its top bracket for income taxes closer to other states. But unfortunately, when you provide a comparison across the Midwest, it means you're going to include Minnesota, which has a higher income tax bracket. And yet, well, let me quote the social media account of someone who goes by the name of Badger Stew. Quote, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce got literally everything they wanted when expired mayonnaise packet Scott Walker was their pet governor. Minnesota did the exact opposite and has been kicking Wisconsin's backside in nearly every economic metric ever since. And again, it's because of a focus on solutions, on specific problems that, again, involve specific solutions that involve policy. There's more to lawmaking than tax policy. There's the actual rules that, you know, adhere to law and use your budget to help as many people as possible. That should be your goal, not just your supporters, not just, you know, the very wealthy or the people who only vote your way, but to work on behalf of an entire state and then try to win elections based on your ideas about those solutions. But unfortunately, as we see time and time again, there are instances where there's either an effort to suppress votes or to try to win elections that may have smaller turnouts. The most recent example now coming out of one of our other neighboring states, Iowa, where the state Supreme Court there has essentially, again, upheld a 2019 court ruling that blocks a 6-week abortion ban in the state of Iowa. Well, that now has, you know, an anti-abortion rights leader calling for the removal of 3 Iowa State Supreme Court justices. The leader, Bob Vanderplatz of the Christian group, The Family Leader, slammed the 3 justices, including Chief Justice Susan Christensen. The three dissenters that he said have shown blatant disregard for the people's representatives and they should resign, impeach, or be ousted. And it's not that he's a stranger to this kind of talk and this kind of activity, because Vanderplatz was among those who helped oust 3 other Iowa Supreme Court justices in the wake of a 2009 ruling that legalized same-sex marriage in that state. Voters kicked those justices off during a routine retention vote in 2010. But as we know, same-sex marriage is the law of the land, and thanks to Senator Tammy Baldwin, has been codified now into federal law. So despite the continued setbacks in many elections, where the right wing is seeing that the general population is not with them, that's not going to stop them. We saw that as well at the Republican State Convention in La Crosse this past weekend, where delegates again voted to endorse the current ban on abortion in Wisconsin, written in 1849, a ban that does not have exceptions for rape or incest, and that is what should stay in place, because apparently that, combined with tax cuts, is what's going to get it done for Wisconsin and attract more people. I don't think there's any evidence that shows that that's going to be a winning combination in elections. But again, that's why you see the work to either suppress votes or use advisory referendums like Republicans did back in April to try to gin up turnout for Dan Kelly. Our studio line number is 844-967-2789, by the way, if you have input on that or other stories that are coming up. I noted when putting together the This Day in History segment that we do every morning at 6:50 that tomorrow is an interesting anniversary for Wisconsin. Tomorrow is the anniversary of when the January 6th committee showed how Senator Ron Johnson was being positioned to be a mule for fake electoral votes. He was going to deliver an alternate slate of electors to Vice President Mike Pence at the beginning of a joint session of Congress, where electoral ballots were about to be officially tabulated, a session interrupted by a violent insurrection. Fortunately for the country, an aide to Pence sharply rejected the offer in a text exchange saying, "Do not give that to him." It all came up 1 year ago tomorrow in the fourth hearing of the January 6th Select Committee, focusing on the efforts of Trump, allies and supporters, and members of his campaign to pressure state officials to overturn the 2020 presidential election. So we may have more to say about that tomorrow. Bill from Oconomowoc is calling in about our more recent topic about tax cuts and to the degree that they are or aren't the solution. Bill, good morning. What do you think?
I think tax cuts are the solution, especially to the lowest tier of our income-earning residents. And here's what I mean. If it's $100,000 or less and no taxes, do you know how much money that'll put in the economy? Do you know how that will affect the economy? The top tier people don't need tax cuts. They need that like they need, well, I'm not going to, I don't want to use abusive language. They
good.
The people who need tax cuts are the poor and the elderly, people who are just getting by. They need tax cuts. Nobody else does. So if they want to talk about tax cuts, hey, I'd love to come to the table and let's figure out what we can do. That's my point for this morning on Republican tax cuts. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that very much. What I would note is that, first off, one of the pushback points we frequently get from people on the conservative side is that, poor people don't pay taxes or they hardly pay taxes, when that's not true. In fact, people at lower incomes pay a higher percentage of their income in taxes, primarily through payroll taxes. And that is a way where you can provide relief. And in fact, relief is quite frequently provided to lower income people through what's called refundable tax credits, meaning even if they don't pay taxes because their income is so low, they may get a check to help support their families. And that, that is a good way, as Bill notes, to take care of people at lower brackets. Unfortunately, it doesn't help us when we're dealing with, people that only want to push tax breaks at those higher brackets. Mark from Prairie du Sac, I appreciate you calling in. I haven't left enough time for you to get in here, so either hang on the line and I'll try to get to you at 7:50. But I do want to welcome in State Representative Jody Emerson coming up next, where we're going to talk a bit more about the legislature and her Republican colleagues' fixation on tax cuts. So just a reminder, our phone number here is 844-967-2789. Or you can always leave us a note and an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be back. You're up north.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Time is of the essence in the desperate search for a submersible that disappeared Sunday when it lost contact with the Coast Guard after setting out on a trip to the wreckage of the Titanic. Rear Admiral John Mauger.
It is a challenge to conduct a search in that remote area.
The expedition began with 96 hours of available oxygen for the five people on board. Parts of the South could be in for more intense storms in the wake of more than 20 confirmed tornadoes since Friday. And there's record-breaking heat
on the way in Louisiana and Texas. KRLD meteorologist Dan Brunoff.
Excessive heat warnings are issued when the heat index reaches 110 or higher for two consecutive days, at least forecast to do that. And yeah, it's going to do that here.
French financial prosecutors searched the offices of Paris 2024 Olympics. CBS's Vicky Barker.
The raid, part of two ongoing investigations into alleged favoritism and embezzlement of public funds.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trevor Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Come on, come on, it's time to get up. Come on, Sleeping Beauty, wake up. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up this morning.
All right, while we wait to hear from State Representative Jody Emerson, let's look at some of the other headlines that are taking place around the state, where Corey Hess from Wisconsin Public Radio is reporting that the Menominee Falls Village Board in suburban Milwaukee is again discussing funding for its library, with fear there that the public library could close. And once again, village residents are asking public officials not to cut that funding. Last year, according to Corey's reporting, $250,000 was cut from the Menominee Falls Library. Village trustee Steve Taggart said that groups worried about the library closure are a radical group of agitators, and that the entire thing is made up, and that the trustees are signaling they just want to separate the library levy in the coming months for transparency purposes. The village manager told the board several times the board can only change the library's tax levy they can't cut the entire budget, and that if that's their plan, they have to find a more transparent way of doing it. But this is after earlier this month when dozens of Menominee Falls residents pleaded with Village Board members not to close the library or stop funding the library. There's certainly plenty of people that say that, you know, there's some kind of a grudge about how the library was operated. Maybe it's about some of the material that is inside. Regardless, you had people having to defend the notion of a public library, where others said, well, we're an affluent community. We have plenty of people with funds and people who can, you know, buy their own books. That's not how this works. If a community wants to come together and provide a library with the services and the reading material at no cost for a community, that should be their prerogative. And they're elected officials who I would suspect represent a minority of the comments. I think their anger is misplaced. So let's see, one of the comments in Corey Hess's reporting said that she was outraged at some of the comments that had been made by some of the trustees about how this whole matter had been taken out of proportion. One of those residents, Ann Matthews, said she used the library when her children were young and had wonderful memories. And she said to the village trustees, you know, how dare you, how dare this board presume to have the right to dictate how your constituents spend their money when we're the ones that elected you and pay taxes? It's incredibly disrespectful, demeaning, and ignorant. There was a testimony from a woman who owns a bakery and is a telehealth nurse and said most of her clients rely on the library for internet access and wouldn't be able to have health care without it. And that is another major service that libraries provide, is that internet connection for people. That is, I won't say it's a lifeline, but it is their connection to the rest of the world. And yet we still find that we're having discussions about book bans, library closings, things like that. All right, our studio line is open again at 844-967-2789. And we'll wait and see if we get to talk to Representative Emerson today to recap for folks that maybe didn't follow it Friday and Monday. There's going to be a demonstration later today at the state capitol by a lot of very angry parents, moms, daycare providers, daycare center owners, even small business folks who are very unhappy that in the middle of the night, 2:30 in the morning back on Friday, the legislators on the Joint Finance Committee, the 11 Republicans on there, voted on Governor Evers had wanted to fund something called child care counts. It was a way to support child care centers, keep them in business so that child care could stay affordable, so that people wouldn't have to leave the workforce. The governor was seeking something like $300 million, and the legislature didn't cut it by some amount, like to half of that much or a quarter of that much. They cut it to zero. And that has people very unhappy, and we'll be talking to Representative Emerson and other people throughout the coming days about the effort to get state lawmakers to change their mind when the state budget reaches the floor of the Assembly and Senate. Mark and Prairie du Sac, thanks so much for hanging on the line. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, thanks. And going back to Scott Walker for just a moment, but sure. Let's remember when Scott Walker cut expenses in Milwaukee County, one of the expenses he cut was safety expenses, you know, inspection expenses. And that cost a young man his life when the O'Donnell Street garage collapsed and killed him. That is something I told Tom Barrett when he was running against him. He should have used that as a cudgel against Scott Walker's head. And you know, I'm talking about that, and he never did. Because Scott Walker just blithely went on with it. And that's what happens when you ignore infrastructure, is that people die as a result of ignoring infrastructures, you know, many times when bridges collapse. And if Republicans want to seriously talk about a tax cut, how about reversing the tax increase that Ronald Reagan put on all of us when he decided that Social Security was going to be taxable income, at least at a federal level? I think in Wisconsin, it's not taxed at 100% until you get a certain level. If you want to have a tax cut, make all Social Security income taxable, you know, not non-taxable. I mean, that that would impact the people down at the lower end of the spectrum and the upper end of the spectrum, too, as well. If they're collecting Social Security, then they wouldn't be paying Social Security taxes on their income there as well. But that's, you know, but the people at the top, like Bill from McConnell brought up, the people at the top, they're not going to spend any more money. They spend all the money that they want, and they'll just sock that money, you know, they get from the tax cut away and for the benefit of no one. They enjoy the infrastructure of the state, and that's how they make their money. And in a lot of cases, that they rely on infrastructure to deliver the goods and services that they sell, but they don't want to have to pay for it.
No, they don't. They want others to do it, Mark. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. When we talk about, we don't even have to go back to Reagan. We can go back to Trump. We can go back to 2017 and the $2 trillion hole that was blown in the federal budget for tax cuts that were mainly geared toward the wealthy. Now, again, that's separate than the state legislators' plans to use money from the surplus to cut taxes at the state level. And it's not to say that tax cuts are necessarily a bad thing, but they are one part of a total package. And right now, the Republicans' total package appears to be cut taxes and cut spending on everything else, or cut spending to less than the rate of inflation so that they can say it's an increase, but when it doesn't keep up with inflation, it is actually a cut when services have to be cut or positions have to be cut, what have you. Let me make sure I correct that dollar amount. It was Governor Evers proposing $340 million for child care cuts. It's something that has distributed hundreds of millions of dollars in federal pandemic support to child care providers across the state. It was a lifeline for essential workers during the pandemic. It's been a lifeline for people in the Wisconsin workforce ever since because of the child care crisis we have across the country. We have more than half of the folks in the state who live in a child care desert where they don't have affordable quality care near them. And so if you're going to take your $7 billion surplus, who do you want to support with that? Do you want to support millionaires? Do you want to support child care? Do you want to support billionaires? Or do you want to support expanding health care to more families in Wisconsin? Do you want to support the wealthiest corporations that can outsource jobs or leave Wisconsin by snapping their fingers? Or do you want to support investments in infrastructure? Well, we got the message from Wisconsin Republicans about the infrastructure, especially broadband. Wisconsin Republicans cut to $0 the amount of new state investment in broadband expansion, saying that, well, you know, President Biden, he took care of that with the infrastructure bill, and there is money coming into Wisconsin from that, but it was meant to supplement what states are doing. And Republicans in Wisconsin have decided to supplement that by $0, and they have decided to help childcare affordability to the tune of $0. And they have decided that they want to support the UW system by cutting their budget at a time of a record surplus. And they have supported changing the Wisconsin technical college system so that it no longer goes to the property tax in its communities for support, but has to rely on partisan politicians in the state legislature. In a bill, by the way, we did not emphasize this enough yesterday. This is a bill that was a provision in a bill that Republicans were trying to sneak through the process. There's a reason you never heard about it until yesterday morning. It's because it was attached to an earlier bill, an amendment to an earlier bill And there was no discussion on it. There were no witnesses. Nobody came to testify in the Capitol about it. They just wanted to sneak that right through. Not that they couldn't sneak that past the governor. It's not like the governor wasn't going to veto that thing. But again, the intent, the disregard, the disrespect for every man, woman, and child in Wisconsin who might want to know about such a big change to the technical college system. A technical college system that Republicans claim they support because you need a well-trained workforce. And yet they go and do this instead, trying to sneak something through. And so as a result of all these decisions, even though we're getting near the end of the budget process, you have people getting mobilized and getting ready to do whatever they can to convey a message to their lawmakers that there's still time to make things right. There's still time to make better decisions about what goes into the budget. And so to that end, grab a pen, grab a little notepad there. I'm going to give you a phone number in a second. Before I give you the legislative hotline number, I'm going to tell you that some of these folks who are rallying to save child care counts are going to be at the state capitol today, 10 o'clock this morning. They're going to start to rally and demand that Republicans commit to amending the budget in order to put back in place some of the $340 million that Governor Evers wanted to put in there. Again, from a record surplus of $7 billion. This should not be contentious. Should not be contentious at all. And yet you have legislators saying through some of their mouthpieces, well, child care operators, you know, should be able to stand on their own. Well, sure, they could raise prices. And then the only people who could afford child care would be the very wealthy who are paying less in taxes thanks to those same Republican lawmakers. If you think your local lawmaker needs to hear something differently, here's the number to call the Wisconsin Legislative Hotline. Instead of, you know, giving you the phone numbers for all 132 legislators, just keep this number handy, 800-362-9472. Again, 800-362-9472. One more time, 800-362-9472. Well, one of those legislators, Jody Emerson, we'll get her back on another time, and I'm hoping she doesn't have anything related to a street project that's going on by her. She put up a photo of water lines that are being replaced on her street in Eau Claire that date back, I believe it said, to 1911. And that's what we have throughout this country, 100-year-old pipes that have to be switched out. And it wasn't until this bipartisan infrastructure law that it finally started happening. Chad Holmes is next. You're up north.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We have a sunny, warm week coming up this week. In fact, we're not expecting to see much in the way of rain until at least Saturday night, possibly into Sunday. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to about 89 for a high this afternoon. The wind southeast at 5 to 15. Basically the same each day this week. 61 clear tonight, 90 tomorrow, 88 on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Every road in this here land, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
Here comes Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio, where you hear him weekday mornings, 8 to 10, right after this show, all around the Wausau area. Chad, how are you?
Doing good, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're near the end, or you're at the end. You got to be at the end of the spring sports season here, right?
We are past it. We got a short little window here to recharge, to just focus on doing the morning show and then not having to run around for about 2 months. So it's actually, you know, it's I love doing it. Within a week or two, I'll be itching to do it. But right now, it's nice not to. To be running around as much as we were the last couple of weeks, at least.
You spoke on the show yesterday with a friend, Marathon County board member John Robinson, about broadband access. And I was just discussing in the last segment how Republicans zeroed out state support for broadband rather than supplementing what's coming from the bipartisan infrastructure law. They said, well, I guess you don't need anything from us. And, you know, it really said something about the commitment of legislators, Republican legislators from North Central Wisconsin, that they would support a commitment of $0 from the state to increase broadband access. What was the conversation like with John Robinson yesterday?
Well, John is such a even-keeled guy.
Yes.
You know, he's very much such an intelligent man who's seen it all. He's been, you know, in different positions. Mayor of Wausau, was a very, very young man. Of course, he served in the state legislature as well, so he knows what's going on down there.
Oh, yeah.
And now just an incredibly thoughtful member of the Marathon County Board. And I think, one of the first words, you know, out of his mouth was short-sighted. It's short-sighted. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's like, again, it feels like, again, it's very difficult to, I think, to, you know, pigeonhole a party or anything else. But doesn't it seem like so often that many members of, whether it's the state legislature or the national legislature, waits for issues to get so far down the line where you have to do something instead of looking forward. And I want people who think and look forward. And John Robinson's one of those types. And, you know, it's about, you know, taking advantage of opportunities. We've let so many opportunities in this state go, you know, by because of political philosophy over the past 12, 14 years. And I think that is just another example of it. Short-sighted, I guess, is the best way of putting it. I thought John hit it on the head.
Oh, without a doubt. And to your other point, it's that you now have this instance where last weekend all of the focus was on a bill to quote unquote save the shared revenue program. And I see that there's been some news coverage of this, but I don't think nearly enough news coverage that should have said, along with talking about fixing the shared revenue bill, don't give the Republican legislators any credit for fixing this problem. It's the problem they created. You know, that you don't get to smother and or strangle someone for the better part of a decade and then get credit for a little bit of CPR that keeps them from dying while you're still sitting on their chest.
It's one cycle. Right. I mean, we've had how many cycles where they have been, you know, taking away the oxygen from this program. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, okay, we did one thing, we're still behind.
Far behind.
Way behind. I mean, it's amazing how far behind. And the idea, well, we did one thing. What are we going to do in 2 years? Are they going to continue that along in terms of trying to close the gap, or are they going to go back and say, well, you know, we fixed it 2 years ago, so now we can go back? And also, it just feels like when you look at this, when you look at, you talked about the UW system budget. I mean, it's insane that that they're looking for a major cut, a $32 million cut from Robin Voss in an era of a $7 billion surplus. But it just feels, and again, maybe I'm off, it just feels like the next steps we're going to see, you talked about the tax policy. It's almost like they're hoarding money right now in order to put it all in this big pile for what they're going to call tax reform.
Oh, I've always said it was hoarding. In fact, I used a different H word from the very beginning, back when this show began last August. I said it's a heist. Back then, we thought it was about $4 billion. It then grew to five, six, now just short of $7 billion. But I've always said this is a heist that's in the planning of, rather than investing it into Wisconsin, into children, into our future, into, you know, even an even keeled tax cut policy, that it's going to be a reverse Robin Hood situation of robbing from the surplus to give to the rich. It's absolutely how it has always felt like hoarding in order to, shall we say, misappropriate it.
It feels like it's hoarding in the last month, mm-hmm. right down to the end, where all these agreements are coming up, where it feels like, well, they're trying to keep money back so they can make their big tax policy. Well, we're going to use the surplus to give the money back to the people, and the people being the top 2%. And it just, again, this is an opportunity that's being pushed down the line now to be a major tax win for the funders of their campaigns. Again, maybe I'll be proven wrong, but it just feels like, boy, another shoe's going to drop pretty soon.
Yeah, no, it does. And unfortunately, the way that the line item veto works in Wisconsin, it's too complex to know at any given time what's going to happen by the time a governor gets done, Xing out various lines and things in a budget. We would hope that by the time all is said and done, a governor could restore some fiscal sanity to whatever is going to be given to him. But at least there is that option, because the alternative is that the governor would veto the entire state budget bill and say, this is not acceptable, start over. And Republicans won't start over. What they'll say is, well, government can't shut down at the state level. All it does is it continues along at current spending levels. And so nothing gets a spending increase. Nothing keeps up with inflation. And the Republican legislators go home and they keep cashing their paycheck for doing nothing. So at some point, Governor Evers has to, as best he can, use a line item veto to try to turn that pile of chicken something into chicken salad. But it's certainly not the way that you would run the railroad if you and I and about 5 million other people in Wisconsin were designing how to write a state budget.
No, and unfortunately, that's been a pattern over the years. But again, I mean, this weekend, I mean, when you think about the most important issues facing us right now, and then you have the assembly speaker saying that the most important issue that we're facing as a people, as a nation, as humanity is DEI, you just have to shake your head. So it's not surprising we're in a situation like this. If he feels like that's the biggest issue for humanity right now, there is something. I understand that at political conventions that rhetoric can sometimes get off the rails, but I thought, and in addition, as somebody who is a proud graduate of the University of Wisconsin system, for him to say he's embarrassed, I just found it to be embarrassing.
In fact embarrassing for all the rest of us. Exactly. Chad Holmes, have a great show. Good to talk to you. Have a great day. All right, that's all for today. Tomorrow we'll talk to Todd Alba, and you can follow us all day long, Up North News WI on socials, upnorthnewswi.com. Get our daily newsletter. Have a great Tuesday. See you back here tomorrow.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
One call can do it all. Your business business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and...